Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We have an exciting program for you today. If you've been watching VFN TV, in the last few days, we've been discussing and talking about Azusa Now and what occurred in Los Angeles, a convergence of repentance, reconciliation, prayer, intercession for a third great awakening. It was historic. Well, at the same time, that was happening on the West Coast. On the East Coast, there was a special event called the United Cry, a solemn assembly, if you will, where 30,000 pastors were coming together to pray for repentance, for reconciliation, and it was an amazing, amazing event. Both events were happening on the same day, April the 9th, a Saturday, and they were at one point actually connected via satellite and were praying for the well-being of our nation and for God to have mercy and for us to have a third great awakening, a move. And so many now are coming together, so many believers, and praying, and their faith is rising up, believing that, you know what, God can move in America again. And we want to go straight to Bishop Harry Jackson as he begins to share and discuss more about what this particular event is all about and what's the purpose, the goal, and some of the things that are going to be unfolding. In fact, watch this.
So there's an amazing event going on this weekend here in D.C., praying for the healing of our nation, and Bishop Harry Jackson is involved, and he joins us here today. Thank you so much for being here.
Good to be with you, Amber.
Tell me a little bit about United Cry, how it was formed, and the goals behind it.
United Cry was a vision that was given to Lewis Hogan from Dallas, Texas, where he envisioned leaders coming from all over the nation and regular Christians, but pastors and spiritual leaders crying out to God at this strategic time in our history. You don't really have to be an expert on world history or current events to know that danger abounds, that we have enemies and problems internally and externally. So it's ultimately a cry for God's help on our country.
And how many pastors are we talking here?
We're talking about at least 30,000 people we believe that are going to gather. Many of the folk who are going to be on the platform are nationally known leaders who have either media platforms or significant churches or denominations.
Right. And the event takes place at the Lincoln Memorial.
Yes.
On April 9th. Talk to me about the significance of the date and the significance of the place.
Well, April 9th is an interesting thing or time frame in that Azusa Street, that famous revival in 1906, occurred on April 9th. Also, from a black church perspective, the beginning of the AME Church, the first black church in America, was begun on, ironically, April 9th. The funeral of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Happened on April 9th. And so I believe God keeps his own unique calendar, and there are times where days of remembrance like this would be significant. So we're believing for an outpouring. But also, at the Lincoln Memorial, that's the place where the famous I Have a Dream speech was offered to us as part of the March on Washington, all about poverty in 1963. And so we're going to do many things during the day, but racial reconciliation and healing and a cry for God's empowerment to this great nation will be at the very focal point.
You mentioned there Dr. King.
Yes.
And you also have the family of Alex Haley will be involved. Tell me about those families. Those are two names, Alex Haley, Dr. King, who are synonymous with race. The importance of having their family there when it comes to this topic.
Well, the whole day is going to have many nuances and aspects of prayer that will absolutely be helpful for us as we want to see a revival, renewing, and awakening in our nation. But the segment that's going to focus with the King family and with the Haley family will deal with the acknowledgement that in some ways the prophetic message of I Have a Dream was not really carried on by other generations. We felt that these families needed to be recognized for their loss Evita King's father was assassinated. We all know Dr. King himself was assassinated. And also there was another third person in their family that was people attempted to assassinate. The Haley family also has really had all kind of scars and wounds around these racial issues. So we recognize them, we pray over them, and then symbolically they help to pass a mantle or a baton, spiritually speaking, on to this generation to begin to live out the dream in a fresh way, on a higher level that Dr. King envisioned.
Beyond racial reconciliation, there are quite a few things that you're going to be praying for. What are some of the other topics?
Well, ultimately, there are cycles of repentance in the beginning, and they're too numerous to go into. We transition into this kind of racial healing area, and leaders from major denominations will be a part of that, and some exciting things are going on. And then prayers for awakening, prayers for Israel, prayers for all the things that a Bible-believing Christian would feel like are at the heart of our faith for this generation, ultimately believing that what God did in 1906 at Azusa and what God did in previous generations with the great two awakenings we're aware of, that the Lord will breathe on America one more time.
You mentioned Israel in that, and you guys are going to have a simulcast prayer with Israel as well as one across the nation. Tell me how that's going to work.
Well, the details are very numerous, but essentially you have the amazing capacity to communicate via satellite to the world. And so there are going to be moments where we're going to have people from the West Coast of Los Angeles area, where actually Azusa Street occurred, beaming in and talking to us, and then all the way from Israel, and it's going to be in real time. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Mm-hmm. And really, literally, our prayers are going to affect the world.
Yeah. You mentioned preachers from across the country joining in, 30,000 so far. What is the significance or the importance of preachers in particular praying for the healing of this nation?
Well, I think leadership is always significant. Many books in the Bible, the book of Joel, which this event is taken from, specifically delineates. It says, call for the elders to come and cry out. Then it says the young widows are to cry out, and then other groups are to cry out before the Lord. I think that's the beginning point. If you look at other books in the Bible, the book of Nehemiah, interestingly, and Malachi, you'll find that repeatedly God seems to point the finger at leadership when a nation goes awry or goes astray. And so if we come, leaders, spiritual leaders, with an attitude of repentance and brokenness and humility, and we let God begin a work to refashion, reshape, and empower us, we can see some great things happen in our hearts to those who view, and then ultimately the outworking and the fruit of that should be enormous.
Obviously, you believe that the prayers of the leadership can bring about huge change, even with something as drastic as racial reconciliation. What is the prayer? What is the ultimate dream? We talked a little bit before about it's not about the negative, but about shining a light on the positive.
Let me tell you about the dream, and I'll give you a brief example of one prayer meeting that made a major difference that we could recite or talk about. The dream, King's dream, was a prophetic message. When he said, I have a dream, he was really talking about an encounter that he had with God, in which he saw a day when there'd be such racial harmony that little black and white kids and children of all races would be able to join hands and walk together. It was a symbolic, visionary dream. But beyond that, it seems that having that kind of encounter with God right before you die, ultimately, as we look back on that with King, we find that it was as powerful as Moses going up to the mountaintop and looking over into the promised land and then dying before he could reach the land himself. And so I believe God gave King a dream. The dream was for racial unity. that dream when he talked about the beloved community, if you look at the writings of King, really can only be lived out in the church. So in the context of America, I believe that what he was doing was he was declaring the church first to come together in Christian unity and love, and that we would be those who would carry and lay a foundation for the rest of the nation to walk in the kind of peace that doesn't exist today in Ferguson or Baltimore, or is not really evident when we see rioting and problems and violence across the land. Yeah. So that's the dream for the nation, to come back to what the pilgrims believed, back to original charter, back like Israel was called to be, and then our nation fulfilling her destiny. So it's an amazing thing, that dream. But it was God's dream. It was given to Martin. Now we believe that some folks are going to have a transformative, if I can say it that way, transformative experience that allows them to carry a grace from this place in Washington to impact the nation.
Awesome. If people can't make it this weekend to the event, obviously, it's here in D.C., what is a specific prayer that our viewers at home can be praying to for the healing of this nation?
Well, I think the prayer would come right out of what Lewis Hogan used as the formatting, and that's Joel chapter 2. And we start with, Lord, the first part of prayer, I would have three parts. Lord, forgive us for our sins that have kept your hand from our nation. Second part of the prayer needs to be, Lord, restore the years that the cankerworm and caterpillar have eaten, Joel chapter 2. And the first prayer was from Joel 1. And Joel chapter 3, then, Lord, would you in this critical hour destroy our enemies? And we're not talking about physical enemies. We know the ultimate issue is that there are demonic powers and rebellious people that don't want God's agenda to be accomplished. Would you, Lord, take power and authority away from those entities and allow us to fulfill our destiny? Repentance, restoration, and then that forward motion of what God's agenda is for the land.
Wonderful. The event is United Cry. It's here this weekend in D.C. On April 9th. Thank you so much, Bishop Jackson, for stopping by.
Thank you, Amber. Really appreciate it.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? Isn't this just increasing your faith? Listen, God is moving upon his people. No matter what the negative reports that you may be seeing across your television screens or across your computer screens day in and day out, listen, there is a church arising and they're crying out to God. And this gives us great hope. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, if those us believers will humble themselves, repent, and turn from their wicked ways, then God will what? Hear from heaven, heal our land. Listen, it's happening all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast. And this is amazing, because I believe that we're on the verge, if we're not already in the now stages of a third great awakening. Isn't this amazing?
This is a powerful, powerful moment.
30,000 ministers, yeah, and people gathered from all over the nation joining to pray and mm-hmm. repent and saying, listen, let's be reconciled. Yeah. And I'm reminded of what was said, I believe it was at the Azusa Now conference, that only a united yes. church can heal a divided nation. And listen, if we can't get it right yeah. within us, the family of God, is there any hope for the nation? But if we get it right, and we are, then there
In
is
Jesus'
hope.
Name.
There is yes. hope that we can have unity in our nation. I'm just so encouraged. I know our faith is so pumped up right now.
Absolutely. And to me, it's just like, this is such a critical event that we have to just recognize the timing of the Lord, literally West Coast and East Coast, unplanned, seeking the Lord, humility, prayer, repentance. It's like, this is a moment that God is setting up and yeah. we've got to respond to. It's exciting.
And dates matter. I mean, April the 9th, yeah. 110th anniversary of the amazing revival yes. outpouring of God's Spirit, the Azusa Street Revival, that really spread. I mean, they say over 100 million believers. I mean, that's over the years yeah. from 1906 have been impacted by this great, great move of God. And on the same day is the birthing of the African-American AME Church. Mm-hmm. And also, as well as the same day that Dr. King, Martin Luther King Jr., was actually had his funeral. Yeah. So, I mean, there's just a convergence of days. And I'm telling you, I'm excited to be living in this time.
The fact that we can witness this is beautiful.
It is. And we can be a part of it. Yes. And you can be a part of it. You know, we've all been praying on this program and together collectively for God to move.
This is answered prayer.
Yeah, in a mighty way. And I believe this is just the beginning of that. Yes. But I want to go directly to Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He's there at the Nation's Mall where he prayed at this event that happened April the 9th. And he just gave like a prophetic declaration that I think was quite significant. I want you to watch this.
We are here for a prophetic purpose. At the end, we're going to perform a prophetic act. 386 years ago today, a ship named the Arbella had just begun its voyage across the Atlantic to the New World. Aboard that ship was John Winthrop, who penned the founding vision of the civilization that would be called America. If America would follow the ways of God, he wrote, then the Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us as his own people. He will command a blessing upon us in all our ways, and he will make us a praise and a glory. We must consider we shall be as a city upon a hill. America was to be a city on a hill to which the eyes of all people would look. And his words would come true. America would become the most blessed, most prosperous, and the most powerful nation on earth. In the history of the earth, there are only two nations that have come into existence on the solitary foundation of God's calling and purpose. The first was called Israel. The second is called America. But as did ancient Israel in the days of her blessing turn away from her God and from his ways, so too has America in her blessings turned away from God and his ways. We too have driven God out of our government, out of our culture, out of our public square, out of our discourse, out of our national life. We too have turned from the ways of God and celebrated the ways of godlessness. We too have called what is evil good, and what is good we have called evil. We too have lifted up our most innocent and helpless and slaughtered them on the altars of our gods, the gods of our desires and our self-obsession. And our collective hands are now covered with the blood of millions. And as we have followed in the footsteps of Israel's apostasy, we cannot ignore the end to which those footsteps led. Nor could we can ignore the vision, the warning that was embedded in that same vision of the city on the hill. For it was also written this: if our hearts shall turn away, so that we will not obey, but shall be seduced and worship other gods, our pleasures and our profits, and serve them, it is propounded unto us this day, we shall surely perish out of the good land whither which we pass over this sea to possess. But we have turned away, we have not obeyed, we have been seduced to worship other gods. In the last days of Israel, they turned from God to Baal. Baal, the god of rebellion and apostasy, the god of defiance and immorality, the god of children being lifted on altars, Baal, the god of blasphemy and the persecution of the righteous. Before this month is over, for the first time in the history of this nation, part of the temple of Baal will be erected on American soil. A sign we have come to the days of Baal when a nation raises its fist in defiance of the Almighty. When those who hold true to the ways of God are branded as evil, intolerant, and enemies of the state. When a civilization hangs in the balance of judgment. But if these are the days of Baal, these are also the days of Elijah. And as Elijah came to Mount Carmel before his nation in its critical hour and cried out, if the Lord be God, then serve him. But if Baal, then serve him. So we have come to this place at America's critical hour to cry out before God and man. We stand in this high place of this nation in the city named after its first president, whose monument now stands before us, and who on his inaugural day gave this prophetic warning. The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. And beyond this monument, just over the Capitol Hill, lies the nation's highest court, in which dwell robed judges who did that very thing. They not only disregarded, but struck down the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. And we cry out to those justices and ask, from where did you get the authority to overrule the rulings of the Most High? And by what authority did you strike down the laws of the Almighty? Such authority comes not from God, but from Baal. And on our side is the highest house of this land. And on that day when America struck down the order of God, the president ordered that house to be lit up in the colors of the rainbow to celebrate that striking down. And we ask from this place, Mr. President, by what authority do you take the sacred colors of God's covenant, the colors of his throne, and the sign of his mercy in the face of judgment, and use them in defiance of his word? Such authority comes not from the throne of God, but from the throne of Baal. And when you assumed the office of your presidency, and when you laid your hand on the Bible and uttered the words, "So help me God," upon what authority did you then swear? And here we stand before this memorial that bears on its walls the words, "The judgment of the Lords are righteous altogether." A house dedicated to him who called a nation to repentance and who said, "Those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." It is 386 years after the vision of the city on the hill was given, and we have gathered in this place because the city on the hill has grown darkened. It has forgotten its God. The temple of its cultures have been emptied of its presence and now are filled with idols in its place. The city on the hill now stands in danger at the precipice of judgment. And so we have gathered here from across the land to this place on this day to cry out, to intercede, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek his face, to turn from our evil ways, and to plead for his mercy on this city on the hill. For the answer lies not in any of these places, not in the Capitol building, not in the White House, not in the Pentagon, not in the Supreme Court. The only answer and hope America has is in the God of its foundation, the God of Israel by name. The answer lies in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the name by which America came into existence, and the only name by which America can be saved. And we come here because as long as God lives, there is hope. And we place our trust in that hope. And we declare that the good is stronger than the evil. The light will overcome the darkness. We resolve we will not yield to the darkness. We will hold to the light. We will lift up that light. We will shine that light into the darkness. We will not compromise. We will not desist. We will not step down. We will not be silent. We will not be silent. And we will not bow down our knees to Baal. We will stand against the night, and if the dark gets darker, we will shine brighter. We have come to Washington, D.C. not to seek the agency of the government, but the agency of the Holy Spirit. We come not to lobby those who occupy high offices, but to beseech him who occupies the office of the Most High. And we have come to call not on the ability of man, but on the power of the Almighty God for revival, for there is no other way. And so we commit ourselves to pray for that revival, and not only to pray for that revival, but to live in that revival. We have come to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of Elijah, the God of the prophets, the God of Messiah, the God of the Red Sea, the God of the resurrection, the God who does the impossible. We have come to the throne of the sovereign God of Israel, the Almighty. And we cry out and we say, "Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy on this land. Lift up your eyes again to the city on the hill and have mercy. Let your power again be seen in this land. Let it fall on the cities. Let it fall on the heartland. Let it fall on the coasts. Let it fall on the capital. Let there be revival in this land. Let the lost be saved. Let the saved be revived, no matter what it takes. Let there be revival in this land. Let the will of God be done. Let the name of God be lifted up. Let the city on the hill yet again shine with the light of the fire of the presence of the glory of the living God, in the name above all names, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above names, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, and the one and only hope of these United States of America. So help us God. Amen. Amen. Let's do something prophetic now to seal this. I'm going to ask, in 9 months, there's going to be someone standing on that balcony being sworn into office. Let's pray for God's will on this land. I'd ask you, join me right now as I say the ancient blessing of God in the language that God gave. This is his very prayer for now for America. And I'm going to ask you, turn around, keep your leap up your hands towards that Capitol building, and let's pray now for God's hand on America. Adonai, Mayishmerecham, Yahir, Adonai, Panavalecham, Vichunecham, Yisam. Adonai, V'yabanavalecham, V'yam sehem l'cham shalom. The Lord bless you, America, and the Lord keep you in the center of his will. The Lord God cause his face to shine upon this land, expose the darkness and light it up. The Lord God cause his grace to fall upon you, America, and the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord lift up the glory of his countenance upon this land, and the Lord give to you, America, his shalom, life, fullness, peace, b'shem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, Or HaOlam, the light of the world, Kavod Yisrael, the glory of Israel, Va'ari Yehuda, and the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Zechariah 4:6, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Listen, if things are going to change in this nation, it's not going to be because of just one person that we elect, although we want to elect the most godly leader that we can, because it's righteousness that exalts a nation. But it's going to be because God's people, we came to a point, we've come into a point, we're going to repent and turn our hearts to God. When I see what's happening in Washington, D.C., when I see what's happening at this event, the event at Azusa now, where they filled up the Los Angeles Coliseum,
yes,
seats 9,300,000 people. In fact, Billy Graham in 1963, same year of the Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, had over 100,000 people in that Coliseum at one time, and over a 10-day period of time had close to 1 million folks. Listen, God is getting ready to pour out his spirit again and in greater measure. And we want to encourage you. Listen, this is the time to go after God with everything you have. You want to ride the wave and be a part of expanding the kingdom of God, you know, here on earth.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.